We have been talking about Thy Kingdom Come. The famous prayer that we prayed when we were young. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, right? Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others who've trespassed against us. You know what you ever want to learn about trespass? Trespass means walk on somebody else's property that you ain't got no right to. Hello. Everything associated with the kingdom is associated with land. And he who owns the most land is a king. He owns all the land. Amen? And Jesus came into the world that he might bring the kingdom of God to anyone desiring to come in. It was enticing to mankind. The carnal mind could not understand the things of God when he come preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And you got to remember something very important, because the Roman Empire at that time was a prime example of what a kingdom is. That's why Jesus came then. There were certain reasons why Jesus came at that specific time. Number one, roads were available so the word could get around better. Communication and writing. Why? Because the Roman Empire ran the world, didn't they? So word could spread a lot faster at that period of time, couldn't it? But it was a prime example of a kingdom. Unfortunately, it was a wicked kingdom. But that's what the kingdom is about. They had a king, and then they went and colonized, didn't they? They colonized regions and so forth all around. Unfortunately, they were unrighteous. And it was basically an empire, not a kingdom. Would you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 8? Oh, hallelujah. So where there is a kingdom, there must be a king. And where there is a king, there is much land, because that is a kingdom. And in the kingdom, there is a constitution, right? And there is a government, and there are governing laws that protect the constitution and protect the people. So where there is a king and there is a kingdom, and there are laws, and there must be citizens. Because you can't rule over a piece of property. Amen? You may own it, but what good is it? You're not going to colonize a piece of property, are you? Amen? You're going to colonize people so that they would get the understanding, wouldn't they? So that the king could express his character in each and every one. He could express his desires. Now, you got to understand that the kingdom of God was created in love. The Bible says that God is love. Man, I want to repeat that. God is love. It's not that he's not filled with love. He is love. He's love. That's what it is. Everything was created out of love. And the king wanted to express his love and what it was like to walk in God's love. You know, in that glory of love, it's awesome. Let me tell you something. When you're in that glory of love, you don't care about nobody or anything. That's all you want is more. When I had my encounter with the Lord, and that love was, I realized, was everything I was looking for and beyond. I was trying to buy it, manipulate it, and steal it. And it came free. I just had to repent. And seek. And it was free. And I realized that the world I was living in was not the right place for me. That I had been deceived and lied to my whole life. Even by people who said they loved me. Because they didn't know the truth themselves. Amen? But God is love. It's not that he's filled with love. And because God is love, he created everything out of love to express his love. And when there is love, there's giving, isn't there? There's no selfishness in love. There's no pride in love. There's no jealousy in love. There's no bitterness in love. There's no offense in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Love. And God so desires us to be filled with his love so that you won't be moved. Amen? So we as citizens, and I want to talk about kingdom citizenship tonight. But first I want to go back a little. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, I want to show you where God was a little bit upset with his people because they rejected him. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, is everybody there? Good. In verse 1, we'll read it together. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judge over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Now that's pretty rough, isn't it? Can you imagine the sons of Samuel? Man, you think that these guys would be shaken in their boots by dishonoring their father, knowing that God was with Samuel. What he prayed happened. Same thing with Elijah. What he prayed, there was no nothing. Lord, blind them. They were blinded. But something must have happened here because they were not walking according to the ways of Samuel. Now, you got to remember something, that Samuel was old, wasn't he? In verse 4, Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Now you got to remember, it was the prophets that judged the people of Israel. How did they judge the people of Israel? Through the anointing of Christ. Amen? But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them out of Egypt, even to this day with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now therefore heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties. Will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvests, some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. And he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. And he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, your donkeys, and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants. And you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. I mean, hello. Sounds like this country when they're voting for a president. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, what? They what? They refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us like the other nations. Okay. that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he prepared them in the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man go to his city. Hallelujah. So they left. And God was rejected as king, and they called forth for another king. Reject the king of glory and put the king of flesh in. Hello. What an exchange, huh? Go to 1 Samuel 10. Now Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? And he's talking to Saul. And when you have departed from me, today you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin of Zelah. And he will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There are three men going up to God at the Bethel. Will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with string instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be what? Turned into another man. So God took Saul. He said, man, I can't leave you like this, you little flesh creature. There's no way you're going to take care of my people. They rejected my anointed servants and my prophets. And they rejected me as king, so I'm going to give you what you want, but I'm going to put my anointing on you so that you can be obedient. You got to remember now, the Israelites were the inheritance, the Jews there in that land were the inheritance to God Almighty, weren't they? Amen? Let's go on. And it'll be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I'll come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. I want to share something about Gilgal, first of all. Okay? Gilgal was the first place that they came to and camped after they came across the Jordan from Egypt. Are you with me? And they made sacrifices and offerings. It was a place of sacrifice and offering, Gilgal was. It was a place where they set the 12 stones on the bed of the Jordan as a memorial. And it was also the place that they kept the Passover. Are you with me? Those were three significant arenas. Now think about that. Here, God was putting in a king. Remember, the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. Talks about 12 stones. Hello, did Jesus have 12 disciples? Amen. Was there a sacrifice? Amen. There was an offering. Amen. And was he the Passover? Okay. Let's go a little further. And verse 9. So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. When they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it happened when all who knew him formally saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, what is this? that has come upon the son of Kish. Is Saul among the prophets? Now, didn't they say to Jesus, weren't you the son's carpenter? Oh, hallelujah. Are you with me? So we see all of these things happen, right? The anointing came upon him. He became a new man. He got a new heart. The place of sacrifice, associating with the 12 disciples, associating with the Passover, associating with coming out of Egypt, out of bondage. And then we see that he began to prophesy. They even thought he was a prophet. What happened to Saul? Is he a prophet? Was Jesus a prophet? Amen. And then they said to him, wait a minute, aren't you Kish's son? Come on, a little while ago, you guys were out looking for donkeys. Now you're a king? Are you with me? So these are areas where the King of Glory was rejected and the King of Flesh was put in. And this started off the expression and the example of what unrighteous kings of the flesh would manifest in hope that people will desire their true king back. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Now go to Genesis 3. Remember, the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. And we just saw everything that was just happening right here when they were seeking a king was symbolic for what was going to happen when Jesus came. Oh, hallelujah. In Genesis 3 and verse 17. Now we know that Adam and Eve fell. They bit the bait. There was a worm in the apple when they bit it. It was a mini serpent. And they fell, and their eyes were open to the natural realm and closed to the supernatural. In verse 17, then Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, curse is the ground for your sake. Now you got to remember something. He was in blessed ground before, wasn't he? But God closed the door to him to come back into that piece of property. He said, out of there. Now curse is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of the what? Living. Why? Because now this is going to be a whole new birth, a whole different race. Instead of being an image and likeness of God, they are now in the image and the likeness of darkness. They lost that character. They lost that trait. They lost their presence. They no longer could talk to God face to face or see him. They could only hear him. And they were removed from the garden. Why? Because to maintain walking in the kingdom, you must abide by the governing laws, the Constitution. If you break them, you will lose your privileges. And in this case, they lost their privilege to eat to the tree of life. And they were removed right from the garden. Are you with me? So Adam, he called his wife because she was going to be now the mother of the living. The living where? The living in the natural. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. And the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat of and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. And he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the tree, the way to the tree of life. Oh, hallelujah. So we see Adam and Eve were citizens and rulers. I call it OJT, on-the-job training. They were in a garden learning how to become kings. God was training them. They broke covenant, and they lost the rules of the king who commanded them not to eat of that tree. So they were removed from office and from the land. They lost their citizenship from heaven. Is everybody with me? They lost the citizenship of the heavenly kingdom and was sent into the worldly kingdom of darkness. And became their citizens. They were sent out. Now listen, they were sent out with a sacrifice. Why? Because the Bible says also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made it what? Tunics of skin and clothed them. So he sacrificed animals on their way out and clothed them with skin, knowing that the only way in would be another sacrifice. Are you with me? Remember, the Old Testament of shadows a thing to come. He was sent out with a sacrifice, and entry would only be done with a sacrifice. Adam and Eve were exiled from the kingdom of God. Are you with me? And that's where they went. And then you and I were born in exile of the kingdom of God and walked in the kingdom of darkness. And the expression of the prince or the ruler of this world was expressed through me and you. Lying, cheating, you know. And you can always see that in a young child. Me, 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 mine, mine, mine. You ask them something, they'll lie right to your face. I mean, no hesitation, man. Did you take that? No. What's that in your mouth? Why are you eating that candy? I'm not eating that candy. You know. Man, they'll lie right to you, man. That's that fallen nature character. And everything is mine. They start that at 2 years old. Mine. No conception of who worked for it. No conception to share either. Forget that. And then they go to another kid's house and they come home with every one of their toys. And they say, it's mine. Where'd you get that? It's mine. Did you steal that from that? No, it's mine. Was that from what? No, that's mine. It's been in this bedroom the whole time. I was born with it. Yeah, you were born with it, but it wasn't that toy. Hallelujah. And as they get older, they actually, you know, as people, humans get older, they begin to perfect it. They don't get better. They perfect it. They lie better. They learn how to manipulate and make it not look like a lie. They look like they're helping people and they're out to get promoted. Because it's all about me, myself, and I, the trinity of darkness. Amen? I've got to be successful to be somebody. If I'm not successful, I'm a nobody. Oh, woe is me. Lie from hell. And if they can't fulfill that need of being successful, they end up killing themselves. Because there feels no worth. And it's called self-worth. You don't need self-worth in the kingdom. You're already worthy. One thing you want to do is not associate with self. Because God doesn't. Amen. He associates with his children. In John chapter 3. Hallelujah. In John chapter 3. So something had to happen so that you could enter the kingdom of God and return from being exiled. And John 3, start at verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. Of course, he wouldn't come to him by day. Somebody might see him. Hello? You kidding? He might lose his place in the Sanhedrin. He could lose his spot in the church. Who would keep that seat warm? Oh, hallelujah. So he came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, which meant teacher. Now that was something, because they would never call another person teacher unless they went through their seminary school. He said, teacher, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with you. And Jesus answered and said to him, you notice how the Lord just didn't even say anything? Yeah, right. But let me tell you something, brother. So here Nicodemus came with something, but Jesus had something else for him. He said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again, be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? What school did he go to? Cemetery school, I told you. And Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he can't not enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. So there's two things that happens. He said, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God, and you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And he says, you must be born by the Spirit of God. Amen. So this was the re-entry into the kingdom of God from being exiled. And Jesus, the only way, of course, to enter the kingdom of God or even see the kingdom of God was to accept the king again. Are you with me? Now go to Romans 10. In verse 8. Is everybody okay? In verse 8, yeah. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he says, listen, what you need to do is you need to repent of your sins and accept the King. And it will allow you to be saved. In other words, that allows you into the kingdom. Are you with me? Now, there's another part of being a productive citizen that's different, isn't it? Because when somebody enters a kingdom, it doesn't mean, and listen, it doesn't mean that you're going to all of a sudden become a productive citizen. It means that all things are available to you, that you have the commonwealth of everything from the King. In fact, if you think about something, the disciples followed Jesus, didn't they? And when they followed Jesus and Jesus expressed and said, repent, for behold, the kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of heaven, I've come to colonize. And there's only one way to get in his kingdom, and you must be born again. He walked around and he said, follow me. He said, you got to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, right? But there was a command he gave them. that he knew. Now, they believed. Didn't the disciples believe? So they were saved, weren't they? But there was a command he gave them, which is very, very important. He gave them a command to wait from the promise of the Father. Because he knew without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God would not be manifested. He knew that they would not that, listen, when you're saved, everything is available to you, isn't it? That means you can enter the kingdom of God. But he knew without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you would not be a productive citizen. So the first thing he did, now listen, you come into a place, and the first thing that somebody's going to give you, you go into a church, sometimes they give you a little pamphlet that said, welcome church, you know, whatever. You know, here's the difference in churches. Churches have members. A kingdom has citizens. Amen? We're not members of a church. Churches are embassies. Hello? When you go to another country, there's an embassy representing your citizenship. That embassy is established in case you get in trouble and you need help. You run to the embassy. If you lose your wallet, you go to the embassy. Man, look, man, I lost my wallet. My ticket's in there. No problem. We'll take care of it. They check you out, check your social security out, see what citizenship you belong to. Then they help you. So churches are embassies. Does everybody understand this? There are embassies to help the citizens of the kingdom of God. Amen? So we're citizens. We're not members of a church. We are citizens of a kingdom, and we're associated with a specific embassy to help others. Not only of the body of Christ, but to bring others in. This is an embassy. We call it a fellowship. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? You get that? Praise God. So, one of the greatest things that God was telling him, listen, I want to help you now. To help you become a productive citizen, wait for the promise of the Father. And what was that going to do? It was going to give them power, wasn't it? See, it was actually going to give them authority. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts 1:8. Oh, hallelujah. And what does it say? Would you read it with me? But you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. Witnesses of what? What citizenship you belong to. The power is because you no longer walk under the according to the citizenship that you once had. But you still carry a dual citizenship. Do you understand that? Because a dual citizenship is allowed. You can be a part of two nations. You can be a citizen of two countries. But see, you and I now, once we come into the kingdom of God, we are dual citizens because we still live in this country, don't we? See, we are a citizen in the natural realm, and we are a citizen of the spiritual realm, of the heavenly kingdom. But he said, listen, here's something to become a productive citizen so that people know what nation, what kingdom you belong to. Hello? Here's the command I give you. Get filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then you'll be witnesses of what kingdom you belong to. You'll be witnesses of me being your king, and you'll have power over the other kingdom and the attributes and the character of that king that runs it. Are you with me? Come on, do you get this? See, that's why people would say, man, those guys were with Jesus. Because even the anointing was spreading upon them. That's why he could send them out two by two, because the kingdom of God was at hand. But he said, listen, it's going to make it to where the kingdom of God will be in you. Because my character will be in you. My ethics, my moralities, my judgments, my truth. My spirit will guide you to all truth. Go to Luke 12. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 29, it says, do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have a what? Anxious mind. An anxious mind is associated with the kingdom of darkness. For all of these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to what? Give you the kingdom. Amen? It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. His kingdom is open to all mankind. He desires that we walk as a productive citizen in the kingdom of God. He said, please receive the kingdom. We receive the kingdom of God through his death and become citizens. Again, citizens, not members. And we do live a dual citizenship, supernatural and natural. Become a citizen acknowledges the law. When you become a citizen, in fact, you know, when most people become citizens in this country, they make a pledge of allegiance, you know, for the purpose. They make a pledge to the flag in representation because the flag is symbolic, isn't it? They acknowledge the law, the ethics, the culture, the purposes of the king, and willing to submit to maintain and operate and expand the kingdom itself. It is a privilege. It is a privilege to become a citizen. Listen, and this is what's really happening right now in this country. There's such a struggle and a fight because of immigration. But you must understand something. The country can deny anyone he wants. It can deny anyone. It is a privilege to become a citizen of this country. It is a privilege to become a citizen of any kingdom. Amen? Think about what they do. When you come and become a citizen of another kingdom or even another nation, you learn their laws, you learn their morals, you learn their culture, and you learn their language. So when you and I entered the kingdom of God, there was a language granted to us. It's called tongues. Come on, are you with me? There was gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Why? Because you want to be a full productive citizen. Oh, praise God. Go to Revelation 1. Praise you. Revelation chapter 1. But you must abide by the ruling laws. You must be in alignment with the requirements that God has given us. Not walk according to the old character of lust and so forth and disobedience and fornication and adultery. Because those things are nothing but the character of the kingdom and the citizenship of the kingdom of darkness. And that's why you have power over the old citizen. Because you are a new citizen. In Revelation chapter 1, in verse 5, and it says, from Jesus Christ, a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us what? Hallelujah. He's made us what? Kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So we see here that he has made us, listen, he's opened the door for me and you to become kings. So now you and I are on the job training, just like Adam and Eve were. Except for we have a mentor called the Holy Spirit. And he will teach us, he will guide us to all truth. Kings and priests. You notice that the king is higher than the priest. Was the first one mentioned. Why? Because you must be a priest before you can become a king. You must fulfill your priesthood before you can become a king. And it's all about training, isn't it? But the citizenship in the kingdom of God is available to all men. But our whole purpose is to become a productive member or citizenship, amen, of the kingdom, because we're not members. We want to become productive citizens of the kingdom of God. And it takes certain knowledge, learning, and so forth, because that's one of the keys of the kingdom, is keys of knowledge, right? The key of knowledge. That's why Jesus said, come to me and learn from me. So there's an area where we must learn how to operate in God's anointing and become a productive member in the kingdom of God, where we become a witness of what kingdom we come from, in the kingdom of darkness, why we're on this earth. Luke 16, please. Oh, hallelujah. 16, let's see here. Verse 14, now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, oh, hallelujah. Isn't it something? Pharisees, hypocrites. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard of these things, and they derided him and said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Ooh. They're what? Pressing into it. Why? Because when they heard the opportunity of the kingdom of God and they heard it preached, they began to press into it. They began to force, I want in. I want in. How many of y'all went in? Praise God. In Ephesians 4. So once they began to learn about the kingdom, they wanted in, didn't they? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. But they had to learn. And he himself, what, read it with me, please. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, or the anointing, so we can become a full citizen. Amen. Not that we become a full citizen, but we become a productive citizen. That we should no longer be children. Hello. Children. I think we just talked about those little flesh creatures, didn't we? That we should no longer become little flesh creatures, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, or come out of line with the government and ruling rules of the kingdom of God. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up. Everybody say, grow up. In all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So we see here that we must become volunteers. We must volunteer. We must be willing to volunteer and submit under the ruling government of the kingdom of God. And God places offices in what we call the body of Christ, which is actually the kingdom of God, where we become submissive. And the only way that you have authority is to become under authority. Amen? Because there's many out there saying, I know Jesus, but they're actually walking in another kingdom. Because they're not in alignment with the kingdom of God. And if you're not in alignment with the kingdom of God, you're not operating as a citizen or a productive citizen of the kingdom, are you? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Now, go to Luke 17. Luke 17. Verse 20. Luke 17, 20. Everybody there? And verse 20. Come on, read it with me, please. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come, he answered him and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is where? Ooh, it's where? Now, after learning how to function in the kingdom and live in this new culture, you now carry the attributes of the kingdom of God with dominion and power. Are you with me? I'm going to repeat that. Now, after learning how to function in the kingdom and live in this new culture, you now carry the attributes of the kingdom with dominion and power. And you are now a witness of where you belong. Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Start at verse 19. And read it with me, please. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow what? Fellow what? Citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So we are fellow citizens. Go to Colossians 1. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Colossians chapter 1. Don't forget to put your Colossians on. Hallelujah. Colossians 1, verse 12, I believe. Did I say that? Okay. And let's start at verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and all spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over creation. For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. So we belong to a kingdom of light. Philippians 3. Verse 17. Philippians 3 and verse 17. Would you read it with me, please? Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able to even subdue all things to Himself. Hallelujah. We get a new body because we belong to another citizenship, another kingdom. What a benefit, huh? Glory. Go to Mark 16. So we are fellow citizenships, and because we are a fellow citizenship of the kingdom of God, there are benefits, isn't there? And we talked about those in Psalm 103, that the Bible says, don't forget the benefits of God, which He says He forgives our iniquities, He heals our diseases, He rescues us from destruction. These are all attributes that the kingdom of God, that the king gives to his citizens. Amen. He said, whatever you touch will prosper. Of course, everything's associated with falling in alignment with the ruling government of the kingdom of God. In Mark 16, glory. Is everybody there? Is there a Mark 16 glory? In verse 16, and it says, who? He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And those signs will follow those who believe. Oh, hallelujah. In my name. In other words, you get a power of attorney as a citizen. That's your passport. So you carry a passport. It's the name of Jesus that allows you in the kingdom of God and also allows you into the kingdom of darkness if you're sent to go rescue His children. Hello? Why? Because you have dual citizenship. But in the kingdom of God, you are fellowshipping. In the kingdom of darkness, you're taking dominion. Because you have a power. You don't need a power of attorney in the kingdom of God. You need it when you walk into the kingdom of darkness. Now you're going into the power and the kingdom of darkness is saying, in His name. In other words, you're saying, this is where I come from. My citizenship is in the kingdom of God. And in His name, because I obey, I walk according to the, and I stay in alignment with according to the governing rules of the kingdom of God, I've been granted power of attorney and I come into the powers of darkness. I walk on this earth because who rules this earth? Satan. So we're walking in the kingdom of darkness, aren't we? Constantly. We live in this kingdom. But we are actually a citizen of another kingdom. So what allows us to operate in this kingdom while we're here with the passport of the name of Jesus, which grants you a power of attorney to overcome everything that the kingdom of darkness will try and bring against you. Come on. And that's why he says, these signs will follow those who follow me. Why? Because you got a new passport, man. You're a citizen of a kingdom that's out of this world. But it's in the world. Amen. And he says, and in my name they're what? Cast out demons. Well, praise God. Why? Because you are walking in the power and the kingdom of darkness with the power of attorney. And in his name, you're going to kick butt on the devil. And when they try to say anything to you, you show them the passport. And they got to bow to the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And in my name they'll cast out devils. That's why that first thing is there. Cast out devils. Why? Because you have dominion and authority. You've been granted a power of attorney. Because you don't belong to this world anymore. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. And they will cast out devils. Now look at this is something else, man. This is powerful. Because you belong to another kingdom, and you become a part of its culture, its moral ethics and everything, you have a new language. And he says, listen, and you will what? You will speak with new tongues. Why? Because you belong to another kingdom. And you will take up serpents, and you won't dance with them. That's not Daddy's kingdom. Daddy never danced with a demon. He cast them out. In fact, the last serpent he dealt with, he put a right on a pole. He told Moses to. He said, Moses, put that serpent up there. And people looked at it and got healed. In representation of how Jesus is going to take our sins. That's why he said everything comes from the cross. Oh, hallelujah. And he said, listen, you'll take up serpents and if you drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt you. And you will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Whoa. So you're going into the kingdom of darkness, right, with this passport. You're undercover. Yeah. And you see somebody who's beat up, wounded, abused, hurt, addicted. And you stretch out your hand, but it's not your hand, it's the hand of the Lord. And say, listen, man, aren't you tired of this citizenship? This kingdom has got nothing to do but sickness, disease, garbage, bondage, fornication. It's no good. But I tell you, I've got another kingdom you can belong to. And I'll say, what kingdom do you belong to? And you show them your passport with your ID. The kingdom of God. And in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come out. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus. Receive the joy of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, receive your citizenship. In the name of Jesus, receive your new language. And receive power, dominion, and authority. Because you're a citizen now of another kingdom. Woohoo! 1 Peter chapter 2. You're not only king's kids, but you're kings and priests. You belong to an eternal kingdom, which makes you an eternal citizen. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Hallelujah. Verse 5. I believe. God's got a plan here. Let's start at verse 4. Glory to God. Are you with me? Come to him as a living stone. Rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Ooh, that's you, man. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy what? Priesthood, to offer up sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a what? Chosen generation, a what? Royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, into that new kingdom, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who did not obtain mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Praise God, you're a royal priesthood, taken out from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. These are benefits. Hebrews 4. Glory. Hebrews 4. Is everybody there? 14. 4:14. Would you read it with me then? Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Oh, isn't that powerful? Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come what? Come what? Come what? To where? The throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, you have access to the King, to his throne at any time. Anytime. No rituals, no nothing you've got to go through. You just get right to the throne. You have boldness to get to the throne. These are benefits. In 1 John, I think it's chapter 1. Yeah, verse 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Would you read it with me? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we what? Confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So, here's another benefit. Man, when you blow it, you can get forgiven. See, when you blow it in the kingdom of darkness, you get promoted. But you come closer to hell. And it's amazing, because even when you blow it in the kingdom of darkness, then you get tormented for blowing it. Amen. In Romans 8. But the Lord says he'll forgive you. So we have forgiveness. In Romans chapter 8. Verse verse 18. Would you read it with me, please? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in where? In us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption and to the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's me and you. So even creation itself right now is groaning. And I share with you that my wife was in Israel, and she'll be back Thursday. But she shared with me, you can sense the land just groaning because it can't take much more. It just can't take much more. This country can't take much more. Can't take much more wickedness till it finally just explodes. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body. We desire to be fully redeemed and walk in the fullness of the kingdom. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. Wow. John 15. Praise God. John 15. Now, because we have access to all things, because we are citizens, all these benefits are available to us. Never take for granted, but it was something that you did to become a citizen. It was predestined for all mankind. That's all you did was cooperate and say, okay. In John 15 and verse 16, he says what? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should what? Remain. That whatever you what? Ask the Father in my name, he may what? Give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So you have access to all things. All things. And Jesus, the one that chose you, you didn't choose him. So, he already chose you to come into his kingdom, didn't he? That's all we did do is cooperate with it. But another benefit is to ask and receive. Now, because we are citizens of this kingdom, and we want to abide and stay in alignment with the rules of this kingdom, and because the Lord owns all things, in fact, he owns your shirt, your clothes, your socks, and everything else you got on, and I always share people, I borrowed the underwear I have on today. They're not used. They're new. But praise God. But anyways, we don't own nothing. Amen? We don't own anything. Everything has been allowed by the privilege of being a citizen. We have access to all things. That doesn't mean you can go into a store and steal stuff, because that is not the character of the new creation. That's the character of the old creation. So you don't go around. The only thing that you stick up, you go in and stick up with the Holy Ghost. People lift their hands up. You tell them to stick up. And you ask them to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? Amen. That's a Holy Ghost stick up. And by doing this and falling in alignment with the kingdom of God and his governing rules, there's something that we must do, just like they did with the rest of the kingdoms. Because the king allowed us to use the land, they gave tribute to him. It's called tithe. It's keeping in line with the ruling government. Would you turn to Malachi 3? You You know, the country calls it tax. Hallelujah. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? Will a man rob the king? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know, your business should be tithed. You want a blessing? Businesses should be tithed. Amen? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. In other words, bring all the tithes into the embassy, whatever embassy you belong to, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. See, the kingdom of God works in opposite of everything. The world buys things to get. The kingdom gives things to get. Hello? Everything is opposite. The world walks in selfishness. The kingdom of God walks in humility. The world walks in pride. It's me, myself, and I. The kingdom of God is you, you, and you. It's different. Our purpose is to expand the kingdom of God because we are eternal. We have an eternal purpose. The world has a temporary purpose and doesn't even realize it. That's all they're interested in, is what is good for me now. The world cannot see the future. They're too blind in the present. But the kingdom of God is the future. There is a difference. And he said, will a man rob me? He said, these are the things I'm going to do. I'm going to bless your socks off. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fall or fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations, all the kingdoms will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Revelation 21. So you're giving to the king. Are you understanding that? Revelation 21. And then we have one more scripture, and you can go home and eat popcorn. Revelation 21. Is everybody there? Would you read it, verse 1? Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Hello, a new what? And a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, so it's going. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned with her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to whom thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. but to the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So we see that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And I want to close at Matthew 25. Praise God. In verse 31. You know, that's why the Bible tells us that you and I are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Everything is available to me and you. The Bible even says that we sit with Christ. In verse 31 it says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All nations will be gathered before Him. And He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. And the king will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in and naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was a stranger, I was naked, I was in prison. But you did not visit me, feed me, or clothe me. And they will also answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and so forth and minister and did not minister to you? And he will answer them saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And all these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Powerful. Remember who you are. You are citizens of an eternal kingdom. You have dominion over all of your goofy circumstances, no matter what they may be. Amen? You just pull out that passport in the name of Jesus and kick butt. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for allowing us to become citizens of your eternal kingdom. You have made us priests and king unto you. Let us walk in fullness of this office that we may be well-pleasing to you. I apply the blood of Jesus on this seed. I ask that you quicken your people and give them deeper understanding as the days go on of the kingdom of God, of the king, of their citizenship, and of their benefits and the constitution that you've laid. Lord, we commit all things to you. We thank you and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.